The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The debate was not quite a fireworks show, as might be seen perhaps at a general election, but all candidates appear to come out relatively unscathed. Now, in a few moments, we'll talk to Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, who's been looking critically at that three-way debate. But first, we'll give you some, if you're fortunate or unfortunate enough to have missed the whole thing last night, we'll give you a sample of what went on. Catherine Connolly early on was questioned by Kieran Cuddihy on comments she made at a UCD Politics Society event last week, where she said Germany is championing the cause of the military-industrial complex and that it seems to her there are some parallels with the 30s.
In the context of talking about the military-industrial complex and economies boosting their economy through that, that was the context of my comments. And certainly as a mother, as a TD and as a candidate in this election, I'm extremely worried about the military-industrial complex that's building up, particularly in Europe, Germany just being one of the examples, because they've actually said it very openly that that's what their economy needs and it's a boost to their economy.
Is it not the case that they say one of the consequences would be a boost, but why they're doing it isn't to boost the economy? They're doing it, they would say, because of Russia. And it's the reason that everyone in Europe is upping defence spending, the threat posed by Russia. That's what they would say.
There's certainly a threat posed by Russia, but in terms of meeting that threat, we should be using diplomatic approaches. We should be trying for peace. We're a neutral country and we should be using our voice, small as we are, we should be using our voice to push for peace.
Catherine Connolly and Jim Gavin then had this exchange regarding Jim Gavin's comments made earlier in the campaign, where he said he believed that the military objectives have probably been reached for Israel's military campaign.
When did the military target? When was the military target?
That's an unfair comment, When was the military target achieved? What's happening in Gaza every day? The Israeli government are committing war crimes every single day. There's genocide. We've talked here about the bloodlust. It's horrific. The fighting needs to stop. Hamas need to hand over the hostages.
Jim, you said the military...
We need to get aid in there immediately. So what can the President of Ireland do, who's non-political, non-partisan? The President of Ireland can keep a light, keep highlighting these horrific issues that are happening internationally.
What did Catherine say was wrong?
At what point, sorry?
What did Catherine say that was wrong, that you took your jumper?
She was inferring that I was...
You talked about the military objectives having been met. You did say that.
What I said was that over those 2 years, it's horrific that these things have happened in the first instance, and that the Israeli government are committing war crimes. What we want to see, and there's moves obviously tonight between the US administration and the Israelis, will we get anywhere? What we need to protect is that Palestine have their own state.
Can I ask one question?
The Palestine Authority, to finish this point off, is that the Palestine Authority have been very clear that Hamas will not be part of that new Palestine.
At what point did Israel achieve its military objectives? When 20,000 were dead? When 30,000 were dead? You made the comment. So at what point, in your opinion, was the military objective reached?
If I can come back there, my point was, if they were, it's horrific that it happened in the first instance, even more so that we're closing down UNIFIL to protect the people of Lebanon. I fear for them what might happen if UNIFIL is closed down, which it is supposed to in 24 months' time.
Well, then the focus turns to Heather Humphreys, because as a previous cabinet minister, she is likely to face a lot of questions on her government's record. And of course, one of the big ones put to her last night was housing.
Catherine said it was simple. It's not simple. It's anything but simple. If it was simple to solve the housing problem, it would have been solved. It's a complex problem. And Catherine's talking about the Housing Commission, and they come forward with their suggestions. Everybody that has worked on this problem has tried to do their best, and they have listened to many different experts. But the problem with housing is supply, supply, supply. We need to increase the number of houses that we are building. And then you see places where, you know, there have been objections to housing. And that's wrong too. Like, there's people who choose to, first of all, on one hand, they're giving out that there's not enough houses. And then you look a bit further down the road, you discover they have objected to local development in their area. So we need more houses. That's the bottom line. And we have to, and there's new ways of building, new ways in construction, more efficient ways to do it. There's 3D printing now of houses, and there's a lot, there's new ways that we need to embrace, and we need to upskill, and we need to do that quickly so we get more houses.
So rather, not so much a case as Catherine contends that the market has failed. Rather, the market's the solution to this.
No, well, you know, the government is spending billions on providing social housing. But it's the private sector that's building all of these houses, and it's getting the skill set to build the houses. That's the big issue here. We can't get enough people to build houses. Yeah. And it's not just a problem in Ireland. Unfortunately, it's a problem across Europe as well.
Also representing a government party, of course, is Jim Gavin, nominated by Fianna Fáil. And the same issue was put to him, with Kieran Cuddy calling the housing a disaster.
It is. It is. And it's simply not good enough. The government need to do more. I'm a parent of teenage kids.
Yeah, you're also representing a government party.
I'm at a loss of how they will get a house in a couple of years' time.
Did that make you any way reluctant to represent Fianna Fáil in this election?
Well, the president can't build houses.
But when Fianna Fáil came to you and said, we want you to represent Fianna Fáil in this campaign, and you said, did you not say to them, sorry, your party has been an abject failure on housing?
The president can keep highlighting the issues of society, and the issue of housing will be the defining issue of our leaders in government that we elected, not the president. The president can keep a spotlight on it, and that's what I will do in my presidency, is keeping...
Everybody says that we'll give a spotlight on housing.
On this area.
Nobody needs a spotlight on housing. The government know that they're failing on housing. They can see it day in, day out.
And the role of the presidency can keep that pressure on the government in behalf of the Irish people to solve this issue.
And that was the voice there of Jim Gavin responding to Kieran Cuddy's questions on housing. Our political correspondent, Sean Defoe, listening to that now, but also sat through the entire thing last night. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
How did you fare watching it?
Well, God, I'm nearly falling into a sleep again just listening to it back. It was, not the most classic debate ever. We kind of had a feeling that this would be the case, that they were all going to just box safe, play it safe, and not for the efforts of Kieran Cuddihy. In fairness, it was trying to stir a little bit of life into them. But there wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't something I was riveted to stay up till 11:30 to watch. I'll put it to you that way. And I'd say the viewership figures after the 11-hour might have dropped off a tad bit.
Now, the question of what the president can do, we know how circumscribed their powers are. They can obviously make more speeches than we had imagined prior to the presidency of Michael D. Higgins. But speechifying is one thing. They shouldn't really be crossing the line against government policy, though. And I'm not sure whether the candidates played it so safe last night that we learnt nothing.
We learned very little. Like, technically, and we did a Let Me Explain podcast on this recently, but the constraints on what the president can say are much more imagined than they are actually in legislation and in the constitution. The president has more scope than we might think. So a lot of the time the people say, oh, Michael D's gone too far. He hasn't actually gone too far. He's just gone further than convention would allow. But a lot of them, particularly Jim Gavin and Heather Humphreys, just played it incredibly, incredibly safe. I mean, Heather Humphreys was anonymous for large parts of that debate last night. I don't think she interjected once, just let it kind of come to her. I wondered if she might have a cold or something, Pat. Certainly her voice seemed a little bit off. She was very softly spoken last night, and the kind of, as I think Alison O'Connor was putting on News Talk Breakfast this morning, like, Heather Humphreys' big strength is charisma, and if she's the type of person where she walks down a hall in Leinster House, has a word for everybody, and none of that came across last night because she was more fighting fires, I suppose. She was always going to have the question of the government and her time in coalition and every problem basically coming to their door. Well, why didn't you do something about it when you were a minister? And I thought broadly she dealt with those pretty well, you know, coming back at Catherine Connolly saying housing isn't a simple issue. When they were talking about the flags and racism in Ireland, she talked about an initiative she set up where, I think, was it members of the Defence Forces or the Gardaí would go into schools to explain the importance of the flag. So I thought she actually, when she had the questions, dealt with them okay, but just didn't manage to interject enough. Yeah. And as one of her campaign team put it to me last night, she was the only one questioned on her record because she's the only one with a record. So that's how they were spinning it.
Indeed. The Heather Humphreys had a cold, were they saying that? Or, I mean, it sounds a bit like the Biden defence.
No, that's me assumption. I asked that last night and they said no, that she was just, it's a different Heather we're used to, having been out of the Dáil from 10 months is what they said, which also didn't sound massively convincing. I don't know if she had one. It just came across to me as though her voice was a little more nasally than it usually is. So I'm putting two together and adding four there.
Now, the flag debate was quite interesting. The idea that the flag, the tricolour, has been hijacked by really far-right elements who would rather not see any immigration into the country. It was hijacked, of course, before by the IRA, and we know that. So flags do get hijacked. I mean, MAGA has hijacked the Stars and Stripes, and we have seen the Union Jack hijacked many times, whether it's wearing hot pants made of the Union Jack walking down the high street, or whether it's for more nefarious political purposes. So that was an interesting, if you can say any of it was interesting, an interesting little bit of the debate, because none of them had an answer.
No, they didn't have a great answer. I thought the best was probably Catherine Connolly, and where I think for me, she won the debate last night by a margin. It's not a winning of a debate that's going to win her the election, but I thought she was the strongest performer, because when it came to answers like that, she just seemed like she was more considered, like she was actually thinking about the issue rather than just getting out a rote answer from a party machine. And she talked about trying to address the root causes of this, like why are, you know, young men in particular, but people in society drifting towards racism, when we know that generally and more broadly, that's not where Irish society is at, and how do we look at the root causes of that? She didn't present a particular answer for it, but I'd say a lot of people don't have an answer for it. So that was interesting. Jim Gavin obviously used it a couple of times to make sure that people knew he was a member of the Defence Forces and that he had worn the uniform, and possibly over-egged both that and being the head of the touching where
he kept on touching where his epaulettes might have been, you know, on his shoulder. You know, I've worn the green beret and I've worn the badge of the Defence Forces, but he has, in fairness, so...
He has. I mean, that's not to take it away from him at all. And he will have gone in saying, right, I need to make sure people know that I have a background that's not just the Dublin GAA manager, and that he was in the Defence Forces for many years, and that he was the head of the Inner City Task Force. But by halfway through, I was going, God almighty, did anyone ever know he wasn't in the Inner City Task Force by the end? But look, that's him hitting the particular points he was told to hit, and that's fine. With the hands thing, I saw a lot of people talking about this online and Jim Gavin's hands. I wonder, had they been standing up, would he have looked less awkward than at the actual desk? Because I thought, and you might have a better opinion having moderated so many more of these, I thought having them all sitting down actually took some of the energy away from the bite between them.
Well, there's no doubt that it keeps you awake when you're standing up.
Which helps.
Which does help, and it helps people concentrate, I think. Now, some of the comments that are coming in, let me start at the top. Interesting that Catherine focused on the Germans, not the Russian military-industrial complex that has been on full show since 2022. And, I mean, that's something she's going to be questioned on throughout the campaign, perhaps. How soft is she on Russia?
Yeah, definitely. And her links with the likes of Claire Daly and Mick Wallace, who were seen to be Russian sympathisers or were seen to be in the last election, it was certainly something that I've had a lot of people message me about in the last couple of weeks, saying that they would like to support Catherine Connolly, but they're just not sure, can they, because is she a little bit soft on Russia? Now, she did condemn what Russia has done, condemn the war there, condemn the Israelis as well. So she got that point in. But she has, her problem, I think, is that Catherine Connolly often has a very worthy point and just doesn't quite express it very articulately, almost gets caught up in the academia of the point more so than actually making it and being able to dismiss something like that. Like, she had a valid point when she was saying, yes, there are connections to 1930s Germany in that Germany is rearming, but obviously it's for a very different reason this time, in that they're trying to protect themselves from Russia rather than launch a war. And that's a relatively fair point, but the way she expressed it has obviously docked her in a bit of bother.
I'll read you some more reaction from our listeners. What a terrible debate. Most of it was about Gaza. At one stage, you would have thought it was debate to be the Palestinian president. You know, what would be nice if Irish presidential candidates during an Irish presidential campaign actually discussed Irish problems, and God knows there are a lot of those. Why are the presidential candidates being asked questions on housing? This is a competence of the government, not the president. Can we ask them how they're going to represent the country and stick to the constitution? Another one. Honestly, if these are the three best candidates that we can put forward for President of Ireland, I'm inclined not to vote. I'm going to watch one more debate, But if it's as poor as last night, I'm not voting for the first time since I've had the opportunity to vote. Well, we're going to have a debate here on this programme on the 14th. So I hope you'll stick around for that one, whether it's the third debate in a sequence or the fourth, whatever. Anyway, I hope you'll listen to ours and see what you make of them then. One question, I think, is prompted by particularly Jim Gavin. I mean, you can ask yourself about Catherine Connolly, but never had ministerial office, never, if you like, tested in the fire. Heather Humphreys has, and she is being tested in the fire. But Jim Gavin, his performance to date, I keep asking myself as a Dublin supporter, how in God's name did he motivate the team if this is the real Jim Gavin? Because I suspect it's not.
Well, funny enough, I was thinking the exact same thing last night. Is this the master motivator that saw the five in a row? Like, it seems to be very, very different. And I give him some sympathy on that, in that he has come in, has never been a politician before, has no real background in this. And this was his first time in front of the bright TV lights in a debate scenario. And you could see he was nervous at the start. He was taking a long time, lots of ums and ahs to get his points across. And I thought he warmed into it by the end, but still looked as if he was someone who was sort of still learning his Leaving Cert essays off and trying to remember the party lines and the different thing he had to hit, as opposed to maybe the more natural in the dressing room. And we'll never really know. You know, I've talked to lots of sports journalists, lots of people from Off the Ball as well, to try and get a sense of what Jim Gavin was like and what he would be a politician. And they'd all tell you they never really knew him as journalists because he never showed that side. So maybe it's only the people in the dressing room who could tell us how different is the Jim Gavin we're seeing now, looking uncomfortable on the national stage. How far removed is that from master motivator Jim Gavin?
I was chairing a charity event which featured the legendary Brian Cody and the equally legendary Jim Gavin. And it was billboarded. It was all for charity for St. Kieran's College. And it was billboarded as these two legendary managers would divulge the secrets of their success. So I introduced them and I listened carefully. And from either of them, I learned absolutely nothing. They told me nothing. They gave nothing away.
Well, is that not the art of a good politician as well, to get up and tell you, say a lot and tell you nothing?
Perhaps. Now, I want to move on to the cabinet business today. And I suppose the one of most interest to the general public will be, for those who travel, the passenger cap at Dublin Airport.
Yeah, so there's a couple of bits of cabinet today. That's one of the more interesting ones. There's also the white paper for the budget, because it's easy to forget the budget is in a week today. So there's going to be not quite facts and figures at the cabinet, but certainly the first indication of next week's budget. And then that's going to be published on Friday. But the passenger cap, as you say, is the most interesting. And this is legislation from Dara O'Brien to basically take charge of it, to put the charge of the passenger cap and the setting of it within the department and under the Minister for Transport instead of where it now lies. And it's sort of a way of going around Fingal County Council in particular to get this passenger cap of 32 million lifted and to let the government set any future caps. So it's likely to still take a little while for that legislation to go through, but it will be at cabinet today, and I'd imagine it will go through the door in pretty speedy order once they actually get it there. And then, as the programme for government committed, they will scrap the cap.
Okay, a few more comments before I let you go, Sean. More than 90% of the debate last night was about everywhere but Ireland. It was a joke. Another one, they should be asked about their knowledge of Article 26, as this is all that matters, not about housing and other matters over which they have absolutely no control. And the final one, from Cathy, I actually watched the full debate last night because it wasn't a shouting match and Kieran wasn't too aggressive in his questioning. I usually switch off radio and television if everyone is talking over each other or if the interviewer is aggressive. And then her final remark is, it was boring but watchable. Is that it in summary?
Probably. Boring but watchable is a very good way of putting it. I thought it was interesting. I thought, in fairness to Kieran, give him props. This is his first national TV debate. I thought he did a good job in handling them and getting as much out. He wasn't given a huge pile to work with, but he did a pretty good job on it. It's just interesting, I think, that the comments that you have coming in are pretty evenly split, in that some people are saying housing and other domestic issues have nothing to do with the president. Why are they talking about it? And then others saying we need to be talking about more domestic issues. So pretty split. I think Gaza is going to be a big topic in this because the president is an ambassador, and I think that's where it comes from. But in terms of one big issue that's igniting under any of these, if it's going to come, we haven't seen it yet.
And I think it's fair to say, when you look back on it in the round, all the energy in the studio came from one person, Kieran Cuddy.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And he he certainly, they made it like drawing blood from a stone at different times, but Kieran did a pretty good job with them, and we'll see where they go now. I think there's one more debate before yours that I'm aware of. I think there's a TV one this Sunday coming for them, so they'll have one more chance, and then you know, you can knock all your constitutional law into them, Pat, on the 14th.
Very good. I'm looking forward to it. Sean DeVoe, our political correspondent, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.